Welcome to Blue Collar BS, a podcast that busts the popular myth that we can't find good people, highlighting how the different generations of today, the boomers, Gen X, millennials, and Gen Z, are redefining work so that the industrial revolution that started in the U.S. stays in the U.S. The Blue Collar BS podcast helps blue collar business owners like you build a business that'll thrive for decades to come by turning that blue collar bullshit into some blue collar business solutions.
In this episode, you're going to learn, you know, what bus are you driving and what bus are you riding? Purpose and clarity have meaning. The disconnect between leaders and non-leaders, and a marketing technique. Hello, here I am.
Our guest today is John Hibbs, who is driven to build effective teams by using data to confirm the instincts. Giving people purpose is easier than you think. We hope you enjoy the show. And back to the show, my friend Brad Furness. How are you doing today?
I am absolutely wonderful, Mr. Stephen Doyle. It is a great day here in Wisconsin, sunny, 70s, fall is in the air. But today is one of those summer-like days that we know we're going to have very few left. So,
yep. Time to
how about yourself?
Oh, it's great. It's an overcast day. It's a great fall day here in Michigan. So definitely loving it. This is my kind of weather. So I'm thoroughly tickled pink right now. It's just a great day.
Tickled pink. Perfect. Awesome. I can't wait to see how this show goes.
Who's on the show today, Brad?
Who's on the show today? So today we are honored to have our first non-North American continent guest here, John Hibbs, who is part of Coefficient. He and I met through networking in some way, shape, or form on LinkedIn or an email connection through somebody or whatever. And what they do from data collection analysis and culture and understanding behavior is absolutely freaking amazing. And I am super excited to have a friend from overseas in England spending a Friday evening, his Friday evening, to be here for us on a Friday afternoon to talk to us schlumps, to bring us halfway around the world to this episode of Blue Collar BS. John Hibbs, thank you so much for being here today.
Well, it's a pleasure to be here, guys. There is nowhere else I'd rather be on a Friday night at 9 p.m. So
that's thanks, a lie, thanks. And we know it, but we appreciate it, John.
So I was just going to say, I'm honored that I'm your first non-U.S. guest. I think it's
no, it's great. I didn't say non-U.S.
Oh,
I said
so non- you did. North American. You did.
Yeah. It is Ryder Cup weekend. I don't know if you're a golfer, John, or pay attention to any of that stuff.
It's not going well for you guys, is it?
No, it's not.
But it's early days. It's early days. A lot can still happen.
Yeah, we're gonna get our ass kicked. That's what's going to happen. All right, I'm digress. Go ahead, Steve.
Before I get interrupted by Brad again, and I forget it, John, which generation do you best fit in with?
Well, I'm a Gen X.
Awesome. So,
I'm fast approaching 50. Never thought I'd get here, but here we are. Here we are. You know, I'm still alive.
Awesome. So go ahead, Brad.
So wow. Thank you, Steve.
For that one right now. So
still alive. Huh. Okay. Good. That's a good thing. So in your release form information we asked for prior to the show, one of the things you said that was really intriguing to me about approaching different people and in different industries, to give them a purpose and it's easier than you think. So within your application of Coefficient and things like that, can you expand upon what that give them a purpose and how it's might be easier to give people a purpose than you think?
Yeah, absolutely. So I think just a couple of things that need to come before that is that, you know, if Coefficient measures organizational performance and it does it across all sectors. And what we have to remember is that whatever sector you're in, every single business, every single organization is simply a group of people. That's all they are. It's a group of people trying to rub along to try to benefit another group of people. They happen to call that group their customers. And what businesses measure to define their success is how much money they make, which is odd. They don't often actually define their success by how well they've improved the world for their customers, it's a byproduct of that, how much money they've made, which means that we have fallen into this society where business is all about making money. And as long as we're making money, then everything's fine. And I think that misses one of the fundamental points of running a business, which is actually the money's great, but it's a byproduct of what you really set out business to do. And right. If you think about, there's a stat, I'm sure you guys know it, 77% of people are disengaged at work, according to the Gallup Global Survey. Now that is a shockingly high stat, because what that actually means is that 4 out of 5 people are turning up to work just for a salary, not to do something they're passionate about, they believe in, or even they enjoy.
So here's what I'm going to, I guess, and I struggle with the word engagement.
Yeah.
Right? Because it's a hard thing to measure.
And yeah, it is.
From my own experience, most engagement surveys that I've seen or been part of have been discussing morale,
mm-hmm.
not engagement. And in my opinion, those two things are very, very different. I can be a very engaged employee with shitty morale, or I can have great morale and be completely disengaged.
Yeah. So actually, Gallup define engagement as emotionally, or disengagement as emotionally disconnected from the workplaces. Okay.
I like that definition. I appreciate that. Thank you for clarification.
But you're right. And actually, coefficient, we don't measure engagement. We actually measure how staff are feeling about performance of the business across many different metrics. But anyway, it's a sort of a broad brush. Gallup is saying this, 4 out of 5 people don't really want to be at work, aren't enjoying work, et cetera, et cetera. Now, we know just from being human beings, the stuff we enjoy doing, stuff we're passionate about, our hobbies, our sports, our families, or whatever it, or even sometimes our work, whatever it is, if we like what we're doing, we're going to do it even if we don't get paid. Sometimes we're going to enjoy what we're doing. We're going to give a little bit more. We're going to be more into it and more passionate, more engaged. Now,
that's why we do this show, Jeff, because we are just passionate about the show. It's not about the money.
this is why I'm staying up at 9 p.m. on a Friday night, because I'm passionate about you guys and what you're doing. And if we think about, if you're turning up to work just for a paycheck, then you don't really care about what you're doing. And I feel that has got something to do with the fact that businesses now are just saying, hey, we're just here to make money. Now, I know that a lot of people really do want to make a difference in the world to some degree. And being able to serve is a huge privilege. And if businesses don't articulate who they're serving and why they're doing it, then we end up with people jumping into businesses or getting into businesses without really understanding what business they're getting into, Now, right. there's a great analogy I heard about. Let's imagine the three of us are, we live in some little town in America, and it's kind of okay, but we have like dreams of getting out. And you two guys are the party animals. You want to go to Vegas. You love Vegas, and you want to go and party. And I'm the boring guy, and all I want to do is read books. I want to go to a great library. And this bus pulls up, but the bus has no description of where it's going. It's got blacked out windows. We don't know what the bus is or anything like that, or who's on board. So anyway, we all want to leave the town. So we all get on the bus together, and lo and behold, it's party bus going straight to Vegas. You two are having the time of your life. Couldn't be happier. I'm like, damn it, I've got on the wrong bus. If this bus had been clearer about where it was going and how it was going to get there, I could have gone, you know what, guys? It's been great hanging out with you in our boring town, but you go off and you get on this bus, I'll wait for the next one. And very often companies aren't clear about their true purpose. And if they are, then over time, you attract the right type of people to you. And this all comes down to branding and perception and marketing and who you are and who you are as a business and who we are as individuals as well. Now, I do a talk, it's called The Secret of Life, and I do it to companies occasionally, but sometimes I go into schools and I give it in schools. And part of the process is I talk about marketing. And about 10 years ago, I asked a bunch of 11, I'm talking about marketing. I thought, crikey, these kids won't know what marketing means. So I said to these bunch of 11-year-olds, I said, does anyone know what marketing means? And this one little girl put her hand up and she said, yes, I know what marketing means. It means being able to say, hello, here I am. And I was almost stopped in my tracks because I was like, damn, it's the best definition of marketing I've ever heard. Because yep. I think as businesses and as human beings, if we can be genuine and authentic and stand on the street and say, hello, this is me. This is what I believe in. This is what I'm doing. This is what I stand for. Then guess what? People will hear that, and people who like that and align that will come over for a chat. So, I mean, as you know, Brad, Coefficient is, we're only just over a year old. We're in startup mode. We've actually got 10 people working for us for free. Like, they're not earning any money.
What?
Because they believe in what we're doing. Because they believe in what we're doing. Because all I do is I stand up and I talk about it. And I talk about, you know, the good that we want to do in the world. The fact that if we improve businesses, we not only improve businesses, we improve communities, because the two are so closely linked. And, you know, we're building our tribe. Now, the goal is, the aim is that we will pay everyone eventually. And you know, I don't think no one's going to work for free forever. But they're like, look, I'm into this. Can I help? Yes. Mm-hmm. Let's see if we can all work together and get there quicker.
That's very interesting. Just the whole concept of how people are buying into your purpose. So let's just dissect that a little bit more. People are buying into your, right? They're buying into your purpose and your why for the business. So if you don't mind sharing, like, their dynamics from a generation standpoint. Are we talking, are they younger people buying into the purpose? Are they kind of all different age groups?
They're all different age groups. So, and I'm sorry, I don't know all of the different demographic groupings. So I'm 48, probably the oldest guy who's buying in and is part of the company is early 60s.
It's a boomer.
She's a boomer. And a boomer, plenty of Gen X and a bunch of millennials. Yeah, the youngest had probably just turned 30. The youngest had just turned 30.
Okay.
That'd be the young set. That'd be the second half of the millennial generation.
Yeah.
Yeah.
We're really clear with the why. Yeah, and I'm sure you've all read Simon Sinek's book, Start With Why. And you know, I think if people haven't read it, they really should. It's a fantastic book. We're really clear. So businesses are just groups of humans. The humans in an organization know everything. They literally know everything. Who's cool, who's not, what's working, what isn't working. People inside the organization, if you can change the culture and get the right type of people inside your organization, not only is it better for the organization and people who are more engaged are more productive, companies that are more productive are more profitable companies get to do two amazing things. They get to pay their staff, and when you pay a member of staff, you usually contribute to a family. But you also get to pay taxes. And it's not very cool. People don't think it's cool to pay taxes, but I think it's really cool to pay taxes because you're helping to educate everybody and the future. You're helping to look after people who can't look after themselves. And you're helping to build the environment for us all to thrive. But also, those people go home at the end of the shift every day, and they go home to their families. And we know there's been studies done. Workers who are less stressed and feel like a more belonging at work and all those positive things, take that home to their families. Happy families become the happy communities, which is not only where you and I live, but where we go to employ people. So it's a massive win-win. And then the last piece of the puzzle is just think about just this amazing world we live in. Like, I mean, it is absolutely amazing. The three of us here are talking thousands of miles apart, like buddies, crystal clear. We've all got food in our tummies. You know, we've got a cupboard in our kitchens powered by electricity, which is like ice cold, to keep beer and food in. I mean, this is magical stuff, right? And this amazing world that we live in has only been possible because of the legacy of 2,000 years of people just like us with the same hopes and fears and anxieties, but with a lot less resources than us and far worse communication. Making the world better, creating things, building things, exploring, discovering things, working together, making mistakes, picking themselves back up again. And I have a very real sense of, we've got our arms locked in with those guys to the past. And we've also got our arms linked with
I just came
future
back
generations. So,
John, I just came back from a trip over to Greece last week.
Went into fantastic. Turkey.
And so over in Athens, Greece, Mykonos, Milos, Kudashi, you know, all these. So seeing shit that's 2,000, 3,000, 4,000, 6,000 years old and communities that were built back then and like without all the tools and things that we have today, I'm going, those people were really smart and really dedicated and they built a sense of purpose and community. And I'm like, where did we go wrong over these thousands of years of evolution to not be able to still have some of those things move us and propel us forward as a community versus as individuals? And I guess that would be a question to have as you go through your survey and your data and things like that. Are you able to identify for an organization folks that are looking for individualization versus community and purpose?
So yes, we do kind of touch on those things. A sense of belonging is really important. A sense of community is really important. We know that connection, giving, a sense of self-improvement and improvement of the whole is really important for mental well-being. So we are able to measure those things. But what I suppose one of the largest things that we've discovered in the last year or just over a year of all the companies that we've worked with is it doesn't really matter what sector you're in. We've done construction, we've done healthcare, we've done all sorts of things. There's what we see most of is huge disconnects between different groups inside an organization. And it's usually the leaders or the managers or the partners or the directors thinking very differently to all the staff. And it's cross-generational stuff. There's huge disconnects. And of course, where we see those disconnects, we see things like poor communications, negative energy, inefficiencies. We then partner with business coaches and consultants to help close up those gaps and start asking the questions. Look, what information you've scored this very differently to other people. So what do you know that you're not sharing with other people? Because if they knew what you knew, there's a chance you might arrive at the same answers, but you haven't. So let's start opening up those conversations. Any group of people trying to work together, a lot of it comes down to communication and building good relationships.
It's all communication and expectations. Mm. I've got a client right now that we're going through a bunch of change management stuff and we're talking through it. And like, the leaders are 4 miles ahead of everybody else because they already have it planned. They've been talking about and going through it. And the individual employees on the floor, they get the bits and pieces of information versus coming on the same journey, right? The bus that they're on is 4 stops behind the bus that the leaders are on.
Mm.
And they're wondering why it's not working so well. Huh.
Yeah.
Can't imagine why.
Yeah. So that comes down to communication. You're absolutely right. The other thing that I think it comes down to is trust. And we know that we've got declining trust around the world in each other and the institutions that create the environments that we live in. There's a website, the Edelman Trust Barometer, which is always slightly depressing to go and look it up. But and I find that really, really interesting because actually trust forms an inherent part of all of our lives. If we think about the things that really bind us together, like money, for example, I play a game sometimes with people or when I'm doing talks and I hold up in the UK it's a £5 note or something, but in the States it would be some dollars. And I say, and I hold it in the air and I say, look, the first person to tell me what this £5 note is gets to keep it. And of course, everyone shouts out, it's money, it's £5 or something. And eventually some bright spark will go, it's a piece of paper. And, they're absolutely right. And nobody ever has ever seen any money because money doesn't exist. It's a human construct. We use bits of paper, what we call fiat money, to represent money. And actually, most of the time now, we're just using numbers on a computer screen. And the only reason we believe in paper money is because we as a society believe in money. The whole thing just falls apart without trust. And
so, John, you mentioned the Edelman thing. So I just went to the Edelman thing, and you are economic optimism on this site here. 2019, 53%, 2022, 50%, 2023, 40%. So thank you for promoting the fact that the economic optimism is collapsing, because we only believe in the money because we've said we believe in it. So thanks for helping that go down further, John. I appreciate it.
Yeah, I said it was depressing viewing. Yeah.
Yeah, I'm not saving this. I'm not bookmarking this site. Thank you.
So, John, one of the things that you talked about, and I kind of want to get a little bit more insight on, is can we go a little bit deeper on the disconnect between leaders and non-leaders? Mm-hmm. Like, can we categorize or kind of just talk a little bit more in detail on what it is that we're seeing as the disconnect?
On our platform, we measure a whole host of things. So we measure psychological safety. We measure trust, measure values, purpose, communication, all these sorts, many things like this, a sense of belonging. All of those scores are usually high for the leaders and usually not as high for the others. So, you know, leadership people will rank their own leadership skills and integrity and trust really highly, and others, staff members, won't. And we see things like staff members saying things like they don't feel acknowledged. Mm-hmm. There's limited support measures in place when they feel overwhelmed. People aren't civil and respectful. And all of these things that the leaders are saying, no, we think everyone's civil and respectful. and there's great support measures in place. It is very interesting when you start seeing these things come out in black and white, or in our case, red and green, graphs and numbers.
Right.
Yes. And your graphs and numbers are amazing. So I guess to help our audience understand exactly what Coefficient is doing, can you maybe walk us through briefly what an engagement looks like with Coefficient? Because we may have some folks on, you know, what is needed, what's required. Because we may have some folks listening that go, huh, how do I find out? Because your analogy of the bus to Las Vegas for us, I think resonates really, really well from a leadership perspective as to what bus are they driving?
Yep.
And who, what are the people looking for? And that's real. And I think your analogy there really makes it very simple for us to understand. So I appreciate that.
Yeah.
So if you could help us maybe
give
us
a little insight. So if anyone who's a leader of an organization will have a gut feel of what's going on. And if your gut feel is kind of going, this just feels a bit sluggish. I kind of get the sense that, you know, not everything's humming along nicely. Then we love people's instincts. We love them. But actually, data sets you free from having to guess. So this is why it's so powerful. And the more hearts and minds you can get in your data pool, usually the better the data is. So what Coefficient does is it actually helps organizations become more profitable by improving things like, you know, efficiency and communication and all that. First of all, we collect the data. We do that in a really clever way. We've got some amazing, clever data scientists that work for us that are able to collect data out of humans, treat it really, really well with high levels of integrity, and display it in really usable ways. We always, always partner with business coaches, consultants, HR specialists. That's really the route into Coefficient. And we do that because data by itself doesn't solve anything. It's like, you know, you go to the doctor, he takes your temperature, sticks you in an MRI scanner or something. It doesn't tell you what to do next, just gives you facts.
Right.
You need a human interpreter for that. So we use these human interpreters who I hope usually are familiar with the businesses already, and then they can translate that data into actions for that tailored for that business. And what we're seeing with companies that are engaging with us and are then engaging with their coaches and their consultants and making positive change, we're seeing great results. Their Coefficient scores are going up, their revenues increasing, and you know, when you have all that positive energy, then the relationships improve. And when the relationships improve, people feel better. And when people feel better, they perform better. And it's a lovely virtuous circle and spiral up we go.
So it sounds like coefficient is potentially the anti-Edelman index.
Yeah, I hope so. That's right.
That's what it sounds like.
I'm going to steal that, Brad, for my marketing. Perfect. Thank you.
It's the anti-Edelman index that is showing all this negativity. We are trying to show the positivity within coefficient and building that up with purpose and intent and driving intent with meaning and connection versus just making money. And that's a fantastic place.
I am an optimistic guy. I will say that. We watch the news and all we hear is bad stories.
That's why I don't do it anymore.
Yeah, it's awful. And but I've spent the last 12 months meeting people all over the world. I've met about 800 people, I suppose. Out of that 800, I've met three that I thought, these people just don't get life. The other 797 are all amazing.
We're in the 97 category.
And it's true. There's so many good people out there who are just quietly getting on with doing good things and playing their part of trying to make the world a little bit better. As current custodians of this amazing world, I think it's our privilege to try to leave the world a slightly better place than we found it. And I think that by working together, we have a much, much better chance of achieving that. Rather than looking after number one, you know, taking and making sure number one's all right, I think if we can live in a giving world, then actually that giving circles around and we end up building much, much better communities.
I agree with that whole principle for sure.
Mm-hmm. No, that was totally agree with everything that John just summarized and said.
So I think a lot of the time we're just not thinking big enough. Like we're not reframing the world that we live in. We live in these little siloed buckets. Like, you know, this is my town. This is my family. This is the blinkered job that I've got. And corporations are really bad at engineering this. They never say, hey, we want a broad thinker that's going to think across many different aspects of this company. No, they don't. They say we want like an accountant to fit in this box here. And don't look outside of this cubicle. Just get on with these numbers that we put in front of you. Or we want someone in the production line to go in here and fix this. It leads to a world where we don't reframe it and think about how it is all interconnected.
Right.
And of course, what you do and how you speak and how you are affects your listeners and affects me and what I say affects you and my family and my kids and then their friends and their friends' parents, and round it goes.
Right. Mm-hmm. It's a pebble in the pond, right? It's doing all those little things to have an impact. So when our show reaches all those leaders that go, hey, yes, this is very cool, John, how do they find out, one, to connect with you, to get that positive energy and that influx of just good human nature that you bring and exude, and learn more about coefficient? How do people find you? Where do we get a hold of you? Where do we start to make those connections?
So the easiest way is just put in John Hibbs coefficient into Google and I just pop up like magic. And I love LinkedIn, so I'm on LinkedIn. Please, I'd be thrilled if you connected with me on LinkedIn. I'd be really happy about that. You can go and visit our website, coefficient-solutions.com. And those are the two best ways.
All right, cool. Thank you so much for taking a Friday evening to spend with us for, you know, a little bit versus spending it with your family. And thank you for being our first non-North American continent guest.
Pleasure.
When this show releases, and we're hoping, I would expect to see a big bump over in the UK and England with all of the connections you may have on that side of the pond for us. So yeah, looking very forward to it. I appreciate it.
Yeah, look, guys, it's been a pleasure, and thank you very much.
And thank you for all you're doing to help organizations understand the value of people and understand that people are our greatest asset, regardless of how much automation we try to put into the world and AI and all those other things. It still comes down to people.
100%.
Thank you very much, John.
Thanks, John.
Thank you.
Thank you for listening to Blue Collar BS, brought to you by Vision Forward Business Solutions and Professional Business Coaching, Inc. If you'd like to learn more on today's topic, just reach out to Steve Doyle or myself, Brad Herta. Please like, share, rate, and review this show, as feedback is the only way we can get better. Let's keep blue-collar businesses strong for generations to come.